Who did? Who said that? Which one? Wyatt? I'm sorry, I didn't notice. If you got a haircut this week, raise your hand. Hey, look at that. Look at that. You gave a bunch of haircuts this week. If you're like me, you don't get haircuts. You get numbers now. Give me a 2. Give me a 1. It is easier. It really is easier. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning? I see some new faces. Hey, when did you slip in? Second to last song. There you are. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. So I missed y'all last week. We were, Pam and I were suffering in Panama City Beach. We had a car rented, and we were going to leave Monday morning at 10:30, and we were going to rent a car because, you know, if you break down or something, you don't have to worry about it. And I was praying about it, and someone sent me a message. They said, you ought to just cancel your car. And I thought, you know what? I should cancel it. We canceled the car, and we left Sunday night, and we made it all the way south of Louisville. And when we got south of Louisville, man, it was snow. I mean, we drove from south of Louisville to south of Nashville, and it was rough. It was like the white knuckle. I was holding on, and I think we was going about 30 to 40 miles an hour. And as soon as we got out of Nashville or southern Nashville, it just turned to rain, and everything was fine. I do not imagine if we had left on Monday, we probably wouldn't have made it. Was it that bad? Was it bad? Yeah, I was glad we got out. But we had a good time. We were refreshed. We had some sun and was able to run every day. You guys were up here. I don't know where Jace just took off to, but I think most of you are probably running treadmill, weren't running at all, you runners. And it was nice. We had a good vacation. We're rested and we're back and we're ready to get at it again. So you guys ready to have us back? Yes. Okay. Is anybody here for the first time today? If you're brave enough to just say, wave your hand. Anybody? Want to welcome you here. We have something for you at the Connect desk on your way out. If we don't, grab a donut, okay? But we're supposed to have a packet for you back there. On your way out, we want to know that you're here. And if you fill out a form and you put it in the, well, put it on the desk out there, I'd like to write you a note. So if you fill out one of those new visitor things, normally I'll just send you a card, okay? Let me go ahead and pray. Father, no, you know what? Stop. You guys are a little stiff this morning. Everybody stand up. Tell you guys are still a little stiff. For people in the presence of the Lord, you just seem a little stiff. I want you to stretch out a little bit. Turn to someone near you and say hi to them. If someone's here for the first time and you don't recognize them, I want you to embarrass them. Go embarrass them. Holy Spirit, youth tonight, youth 6 o'clock, and Noah can come too because we're going to split off the ages. We're going to separate them. There you go. Now your friend can come to church. Yeah. Well, yeah. She supports me every day, you know. I try to get her to run. Good morning, Miss Joy, how are you doing this morning, huh? It's good to see you. Is that warm, huh? Yeah, I like it. You always look so nice, dress nice. Is that your Sunday clothes? Yep. She did. She did. Good to see her. She's got her mouse sweatshirt on. Did she say hi to Miss Pam? She better. Holy Spirit. Now's a good time to sneak off to the bathroom. Okay. All right, that's better. Someone say praise the Lord. I was so close, I just didn't feel the liberty of the Spirit. I was so close to just to have folks come up and get in the presence of God. If you ever feel like coming up front and worshiping, did anybody feel that way this morning, almost drawn to the front? Yeah, if you ever feel that way, you have freedom to walk up into the front and worship God. Just really, I felt the presence of God too. Did you guys in the back feel the presence of God too? Way back there? Amen. That's good. I was thinking, and I've thought many times, you know, people come up and ask for prayer, and you should ask for prayer. We want to pray for you. but there's nothing in your life that'll take the place. It's great to see you. Really good to see you this morning. Nothing will take the place of God's presence in your life. God can do more for you in 1 second than a man can do for you in a lifetime. He can get things squared around. When I gave my life to the Lord, I was a mess. Anybody else, were you a big mess before you gave your life to the Lord? Am I the only one? I was a mess. I mean, really a mess. You know, the word sinner, you looked up in the dictionary under sinner, and my picture was there, right there smiling, you know. I was bad. And you know, the funny thing about sin is a lot of times it's hidden. You know, on the outside, you can look pretty good. You're like an all-American boy. But man, on the inside, there's so much that was going on in my life that wasn't right. And I had so many struggles. And I always say this, in 1 nanosecond, God straightened me out. He straightened me out and got me on the right path. Now, it hasn't been a perfect journey. I've made mistakes since then. But the presence of God, nothing will take the place of it. Even the preaching of the Word without the presence of God will not get the job done. Now, you can meditate and renew your mind and change your behavior through the Word of God. The Word of God has power, but the preaching of the Lord is always meant to bring the presence of God. Did you know that? It's not just supposed to be a sterile doctrine. One of the things that always gets me is just a pure intellectual Christian. I believe God is smart. How about you? God's smart, okay, you know, and he's wise, and he has all knowledge, but a pure intellectual preaching of the gospel will not get it done. You need God's presence in your life. You don't get healed unless God's presence touches you in some way. You don't get delivered from sin unless God's presence touches you in some way. God's a miracle-working God, so Charlie, I agree, and I just love the worship. I almost wanted to call everybody up to worship God, because when we reach out and worship God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Did you know that? I always say the devil inhabits the grumbles of his people, right? He really does. I mean, think about it. When you, whatever you're praising, worshiping, that's what you inhabit. If you're a grumbler, you're a complainer, you're a negative, that's what takes over your soul. Anybody ever get caught? We call them the molly grubs. You know, you ever heard of molly grubs? Get caught in the molly grubs, get down, and pretty soon it just snowballs, and everything's negative, and you start speaking negative, and things go negative. It's almost like we think if we complain enough, someone's going to hear us and help us, but what really happens, it just keeps us down. So if God inhabits the praises of his people, I really believe wickedness inhabits complaining and negativity, unbelief. You know, all those things become a dwelling place in you. We need to throw those things off and turn our focus on God and worship him, because God inhabits the praises of his people. That's what the Word says. And when you praise him and worship him, he'll come and inhabit you. I've been thinking so much, and you know, Dan, what you talked about the glory of God. We live in incredible times right now. Would anybody agree with me on that? We just live in incredible times. Good is, many people call good evil and evil good. We live in very trying times with our government right now. There is so much going on. And I really believe the answer for the Christian is to take our lives and live for the glory of God. Because, you know, there's so many things, sometimes it can be confusing. Lord, how much should I be involved here? What should I do about this? Or what should I think about that? And I really think at the end of the day, I think the way that I need to live, to focus myself, living in 21st century America, is to live my life for the glory of God. Say, God, what would glorify you in this situation? Is what I'm going to post on Facebook going to bring you glory? And if it is, I'll do it. If it's not, I'll just get away from it. God, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, is it going to bring you glory? And Lord, if it isn't going to bring you glory, I'll just table it. And I really believe if we seek the glory of God, the Bible says that Jesus only sought to glorify his Father. Jesus sought to glorify his Father, and in turn, the Father glorified the Son. When we make it our passion, our focus, our desire to bring God glory, he'll make sure that we're glorified in him. If we try to seek our own glory, things just go wrong. if we speak out of ourselves, if we move and operate out of ourselves, things just go wrong. Folks, I am determined. I think the only safe way for me, Jace, is to live for the glory of God. Everything else is confusing to me. God, what about this and what about that? What's going on here? The only safe thing is to live for the glory of God. Getting in the Word this week, I got so many directions to go. I really have been praying over it. Turn over to the book of Acts chapter 1. I want to weigh into some things, and I don't know how far I can go into it, but I want to get into some things, and I want to speak to what's going on right now in our country, and I want to reference what happened in the early days of the church. If this was a Wednesday night, I think I would just pick through this really slow. I should try to pick through every verse of Scripture, but on Sunday mornings, I can't do this. But there is so much here that pertains to what we're going through in our country right now. Acts chapter 1, I'll just start at the beginning. Acts chapter 1, the former account, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus is concerned about the kingdom of God. How about you? Do you know if you're a born-again Christian, your main focus in life should be the kingdom of God, Jesus as Lord, and the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's his concern. Everything, and you're doing many good things in life. The things you're doing, I do many things. God seems to be interested in what I'm doing. He talks to me about the things I'm doing. But it's very important for me always to make sure that in all of it, I'm putting the kingdom of God first. In fact, last night, Jace was praying, and as we were praying, the Spirit talked to me, and I had an encounter over at the track. I went up and ran. I don't know why I go run circles at the track. It seems crazy when I'm doing it. Like, why am I out here suffering, Lord? I'm 61. You think I could stop running, you know? But I had an encounter, and God spoke to me right over here where Dana is sitting. He said, Brad, I can be glorified by anything you do in your life. I can be glorified by it and in it if you turn it over to me. I've prayed many times. I've said, Lord, should I just quit going to the gym? I go in, I like to work out. And the Lord's never told me not to do it. There was a time in my life when I prioritized it too much, Charlie, and he told me to knock it off, and I did for a season. But you know what? I have met so many people at the gym. I have witnessed and shared Christ to people at the gym. I've met new people there. And God tells me, he says, I can get glory in your life no matter where you're at. It all depends on your perspective and how you're looking at things. Jesus was concerned about the kingdom of God. If you're involved in sports, you can give God glory in your athletic endeavors. In fact, if you have a talent anywhere in life, if you're talented in education, if you're talented in athletics, if you have different giftings, God wants to be glorified. He did not give you those gifts so they could sit dormant on a shelf. In fact, we did a thing called Newark's Got Talent, where we showcased people in Newark's talent. We had the Midland Theater filled up with people. They say, why were you doing that? We were doing it because God is the God of talents. If you can sing, God gave you that talent. If you put your a candle under a bushel, and you don't allow your talents to be used from God, you're wasting the ability that God gave you. If you can preach, preach with all the power God gave you. If you're an athlete, do the best you can so when you get that trophy, you can get up and you can give God glory for it. Give him the praise and the glory for it. Everything in our lives, the Word says, we are to do it as unto the Lord. When I graduated from COTC, I was honored. I was the C. Allen Milliken Award winner. I didn't do as good in high school, but in college I was older, and I decided to buckle down and study, and I did. And I remember getting up there, and we had these crazy hats on, you know, the kind they throw in the air. And I took my hat off, and I just did it instinctively because I was going to give God glory. I didn't plan it, didn't think about it, but because I wanted to give God glory, I remember taking my hat off, and there's a whole crowd of people out there in the graduation, And I had the anointing of God was all over me. And I had tears coming out of my eyes. And I thank God for the ability to stand. He paid for my education. He enabled me to get through school. I had two children. And I met Pam during that time. And I got married during that time. I got my degree and I'm being awarded. And I remember thanking, not just God, but I remember thanking the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gave Jesus glory because the glory belonged to Him. They put me in the newspaper when I was interviewed. I said, my life, I was on my back like a turtle. Anybody ever see a turtle on its back? You ever help a turtle on its back? Do you know a turtle on its back needs help? And I told that guy, Jeff Bell was the guy for the Advocate, wrote up the article. I said, I was on my back like a turtle. And I said, God came around through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He flung me back around and put me, and now I'm walking on my way. And God gave me the opportunity to give Him glory through what I did. Folks, you can give God glory, and you should give God glory in everything that you're doing. And in fact, when you do that, and when you make God your focus and the kingdom of God your focus, you're going to find out that there are going to be things, opportunities, there are going to be things clicking in your life, doors opened, opportunities opened that you never dreamed of. You know, as a family in our church, that since they've come here, just maybe for 3 or 4 months now, the husband, he's already got a job where he's making 3 times as much money. Amen? And that's big. That's a big deal. You know, and God's already blessing because they're reprioritizing their lives. They've given their lives to the Lord, and they're living their lives for the glory of God. So Jesus was preaching concerning the kingdom of God. And they were all together, and He commanded them, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. I won't go too far down that way. Folks, we were never meant to live a Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the smartest things you can do as a believer is wait in the presence of God, like today, and be empowered. The Word says over and over again, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's not by your good looks. It's not by your intelligence. It's not even really by your gift. It's by the anointing of God that He puts on your life through the Spirit. And the Lord told the apostles, wait for the Holy Spirit because He's coming. The promise of the Father. He says, John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And I want to talk about this a little bit. I don't have a watch. They used to have a clock up on the wall. They said, Lord, will You restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus told them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons appointed by the Father. He goes, but you will receive power after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. See, what the early apostles and the Jewish people, they were looking for is they were looking for Jesus to establish His kingdom on the earth. And what they were really asking Jesus, they said, Lord, are You going to come and sit on David's throne in Jerusalem, and are You going to become the governor? Are You going to become the king of the whole earth? And Jesus said, those things are appointed by My Father, but there's something I want you to do. And I've been thinking a lot about that. I don't know about you, but things didn't go the way that I wanted, even the way that I thought they were going to go in this past election. And things in our government, I'm saying, Lord, I don't understand, you know, the times and the seasons. And really, there's only one scripture God gave me after the election, only one thing He spoke to me clearly, and He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. He's told me, keep praying. Don't give up. Keep praying for your country. Keep praying for revival. Keep praying for your nation. Don't give up. Don't just throw it all out right now. Keep on praying. But there's still, I don't know about you, but it kind of shifted me a little bit. And I've been trying to get my footing. And as I was reading this, this verse of scripture spoke to me. It says, Brad, you don't know all the times and the seasons. You don't know everything that's going on in the earth. And I think sometimes, just like the early apostles, we want things to be a certain way. We want Jesus to rule and reign on the earth right now. We want him to come back right now. But everything doesn't always work out, just like these apostles, where Jesus said, it's not for you to know that. See, they were looking for an earthly king. Jesus had already said in John 18:36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Did he say it or didn't he? Did he say that? He did say it. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world," he says, "my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not from here." Now, it's not like God isn't interested in the things that are going on the earth. I'll talk about that a little bit. But Jesus, right now, as we stand here, is already sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father in a position of power. And already the Word of God says that all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus already has all the authority. He already has all the power. He doesn't need Biden to be president or Trump to be president. He doesn't need for anything to happen. Right now, as we stand here as the church, all power and authority already belong to Jesus. And in the book of Acts, when he said, "Guys, I'm not telling you when I'm coming back and sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, but I'm going to give you an assignment." And I believe this is pertinent to us today. He said, "My assignment for you is for you to preach the gospel. My assignment for you is to declare the good news about Jesus Christ. My assignment for you is to go into all the world and tell people that they can be forgiven for their sins. My assignment for you is to go into all the world and declare that Jesus is Lord." And in fact, if you look at the persecution of the early church went against a great empire, the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, the common saying was that Caesar was Lord. And Christians were going around saying just the opposite. They were saying, "No, Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord." And the message that God gave the early church was that Jesus is Lord. He's going to come back and sit on his throne. And he's going to judge the nations, and he's going to judge the world. And right now it's the age of grace, and you need to go announce that to every person, every creature, great and small, that right now they can be forgiven for their sins. Right now I can heal their sicknesses. Right now I can restore their life. Right now I can give them meaning in their life. Nothing else has to happen. The blood of Jesus has already been spilt. The grace of God has already been established. Anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord can be, will be saved. Someone say amen. Amen. Jesus is already Lord. So the Lord was resetting me and reminding me, and again, I'm not saying what you should or shouldn't do in regards to politics or government. I'm very much praying for our country daily. We were in here last night praying for our country. I'm not giving up on our country. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Lord reset me, and he says, "Brad, if you want to bring me glory, preach the gospel." This is one thing I know, and this troubles me too, about sometimes in the church, because we line up. There's issues. Listen, I believe that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. How about you? I don't believe there's 15, 50. The science says that there's male and there's female. That's what the science says. Trust the science. There are men and there are women. You can trust it. Politics will tell you there's 50 different genders. It's all a lie. It's all smokescreen. There are some people that have gender dysphoria. They get confused. It is a wicked and evil thing to tell a teenage girl or boy they can have a sex change operation. That child is not in any position to make that decision. And there are people that are trying to pass legislation to foist that on a 13-year-old kid. That is actually child abuse. And it is wicked. I don't understand that law that they're passing. I haven't read it, so I don't want to speak it into it all. But that is wicked. I stand against that stuff. But one thing we have to be careful of, when we stand against issues and things, we have to be careful that we don't wind up despising and hating people. Amen. We got to be really careful, because these are people that Jesus died for. Who did Jesus die for? The righteous or sinners? Who did Jesus hang out with most of the time? Who received Jesus gladly? Who opposed Jesus? The righteous. So I want to be very careful, and this is something I got to be very careful in my stands for righteousness, and I do make a stand for righteousness. I want to be very careful that I'm announcing the gospel in the Spirit of Christ to people that need it. I don't want to chase away the people that Jesus died for. At the same time, I don't want to compromise what's true either. Do you?
No.
I don't either. Now, we are told to go into all the world and to announce the gospel to people that are hurting. The way I feel about it, you know, some people, it is a lie. Because you disagree with somebody, it is a lie to say that you can't disagree with someone and still like them. So you disagree with me out there on some things. You can disagree with somebody and still like them. Some people believe that gambling is wrong. Do you hate them for it? Other people believe it's okay. There are people in the church that believe you can drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, and they drink a little bit, right? And other people don't believe you can drink a drop. Do you hate them all? All the people? If I had all the wine drinkers raise their hand, you gonna hate them all? And for all us teetotalers, us that don't take a drop, you gonna hate us because we're not more liberal than you are, more accepting? Now you can get out there and critique and criticize. We disagree on many, many things. We need to be careful how we walk in love to our brothers, but we cannot compromise what the Bible says about what truth is. And at the same time, Paul said that we are to speak the truth in love. We are to, I'll just give you an example. You know, Charlie told me that I was going to have an encounter in Florida. And I know one encounter I had, I went into the Gap and Pam and I were looking. We just wore t-shirts. Like, we thought Florida was going to be warm. We just wore t-shirts down there, right? We got down there, it was like 50 degrees, you know. In the mornings it was like 30 and 40 the first few days. And I'm like, we did not dress for this weather. Like, I didn't even bring my spring jacket. I had a winter coat and everything else was t-shirts. We had to run to the store and get some clothes, you know, so we wouldn't freeze. Down in Florida, I know, next year we're going down to Fort Myers. It was 85 degrees in Fort Myers. I know, we were in the panhandle and we were freezing the first few days down there. So we went into the store and there was a young boy that was waiting on me. I don't know if he was 16, 17, Pam, you know. But he had a badge on and his badge said Laura. And I started talking to this young man named Laura, and I just talked to him. I didn't say too much. Asked him a lot of questions, where he was from, what he did. And, you know, as I was standing there talking to Laura, Pam didn't know that it was a young man. And after we left, I told her, yeah, that was a young man. Very dressed femininely, and she thought he had a deep voice. But I explained that to her. But as I was talking to him, I just felt compassion for him. And literally, when I was talking to him, he had like a tick, and he just kept, you know, I was being friendly to him. I was just talking and smiling, just like I do, and asking him questions, and he was almost like he just had this tick, and my heart hurt me for this young man, and I thought what it would be like to be him, and to live like him. He's a nice guy named Laura, so much so that Pam and I went back, and I was really looking forward to it. We went back later in the week, and Charlie didn't come back to talk to the man about his life and everything that he was doing wrong and you know, what was wrong in his life, but I just had compassion for him, and I found him. He was over on the left-hand side of the store, and I walked up to this boy named Laura, and I said, asked him how he was doing, good, and I asked him if he needed prayer for anything. I said, Laura, do you need prayer for anything? You doing okay? And I know it stunned him. You know, he just kind of looked at me, and I said, yeah, I said, I'm a Christian. I said, you were really on my heart when I met you last week, and I was thinking about you this week. Do you need prayer for anything? And Laura, he couldn't think of anything that he needed prayer for. And I told him I would pray for him, and I did pray for him as I left, told him that Jesus loved him and that he was on my heart. And that's really all the door that was opened. He went his way, and I went my way. And Charlie, I felt compassion for that young man that he thinks he's a young woman. He's not. And it broke my heart for him. I didn't feel judgment You know, there's going to be a day when God judges all of our lives. Did you know that? Everybody in this room, I need God's grace and mercy in my life. Even for last week, I could do so much more for the Lord. Sometimes I get a little, not lackluster, I get a little discouraged sometimes. I want things to be a little different than they are. I just want to go away and, you know, live in Florida forever and escape my responsibilities. And that young man will be judged by God. I want to be the person that makes a difference in that person's life. I want to offer them the gospel. I want to be that person, that Christian, when they meet me, they just say, okay, and like I said, I cannot tell Laura that I believe, and if the laws come out and they force me to tell that to say that I believe something I don't, I can't say that it's normal. The Bible created male and female. Marriage is between man and woman. That's the way that God ordained it. That's the way it has to be. I can't compromise that. But when I see someone stuck in their sin, my heart's desire is to extend the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God into that person's life. Amen. You know, Charlie, you pointed out recently, in the church, you know, we need to hold each other a little more accountable in the church. Someone say amen. 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 We're Christians, we're saints, we know the gospel, we know what truth is. We need to hold each other a little more accountable in the body of Christ. God, Jesus Christ, died on a cross for that young man. Our job, first job, I care about what happens in our government, but our first job as Christians is to announce the good news to sinners that Jesus loved them, He took their place, died on a cross for them, and He wants to give them a new life. And if they'll repent and they'll turn from their sins and their wicked ways, God will save them. If they'll give their lives to God, He'll save them. We always need to be that hand of grace that's reaching out. And if you go down, so that's the church's job. So I got one reset, my primary focus. And I notice sometimes, you know, we're not good, at least I'm not good sometimes about having three or four focuses. You know, one of the reasons, anybody ever get offered to sell Amway? Anybody? Am I the only one there again? Okay. No. You know, I've been offered many times in my life. One of the things as a Christian, I'm not against Amway. I mean, some people have done very well with it. But one of the reasons I didn't do it, I looked at it hard. I always thought I might be a good salesman. You know, you want to buy some soap from me, Jamie? No? Okay. Always thought I might be a good salesman. I, you know, sometimes I have the gift of gab. But one of the reasons that I did not become an Amway salesman was I didn't want to have conflict. I meet you. And as I want to talk to you, and I don't know whether I want to sell you Amway or I want to talk to you about Jesus. And I was like, do I want to sell you Amway? Do I want to talk to you about Jesus? And in my life, I said, you know what? I just want to be focused on one thing. I want to be focused on Jesus. I want to talk to, so I just didn't want to get involved in that. That was me personally. And I think sometimes with me too, when I have so many things on my mind, what's going on in our culture, what's going on in our world, and things get confusing to me, sometimes I need to go back to the basics, Jace. And the basics for me, as Jesus has ordained me to preach the gospel and reach out to people that don't know Jesus, to care for the hurting, the destitute, the dying, and sinners, and reach out a hand of grace to them. And then the second thing, you'll notice as they go on, the second thing the church did was the church got together and they prayed. The Word of God still says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, they'll turn from their wicked ways and they'll seek my face. He says, I will heal their land. He didn't say, if the world gets together and seeks my face. It's never been that God's been looking for the world. The Bible says the world is running from God as fast as they can. That's why it's not a surprise that there's a boy named Laura. The world is running from God as fast as they can. So God wasn't asking the world to repent. He will ask the world to repent when the church announces the gospel. But he's saying if the church repents and turns from their wicked ways, if the church repents from their idolatry and they seek me with all their heart, then I'll bring healing to their land. So the second thing the church is supposed to do, number one, we're to announce the gospel. Number two, we are to be praying for revival. We are to be praying for the glory of God. We are to be praying for a reformation. We are to be praying for a shaking. We're not to throw in the towel and just say, judgment's coming. Of course, if judgment's coming, the world needs to be warned, but we can't just throw in the towel. I know people that just want to tuck their tail and hide. They want to run from the world like Jonah, but we can't be a Jonah church. We need to be a Jesus church. Jesus left glory and he came to earth, and the Bible says he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Who did he come to seek and save? Laura. A boy named Laura. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he wants the church to pray, get rid of our sin, get rid of our idolatry, pray for our nation. I've been saying this for months now. The church, we are a kingdom of priests. We are the one. Do you know God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And I've heard messages and sermons about God destroying, and he did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But do you know before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, the man of faith, was praying, and he was actually standing in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah, saying, God, if you find 50 righteous men, 40 righteous men, 30 righteous men, 10, if you find any righteous men, will you spare the city? And do you know that every time God said, yes, if you'll find one righteous man, 10 righteous men, two, God's heart's desire was to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if you can find anybody righteous. And Abraham stood in the gap against Sodom and Gomorrah so God's judgment wouldn't come. But there weren't any righteous men and women in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the wrath and the judgment of God came on Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know the wrath of God is going to come on this world for sin? Did you know that? The Bible says it's going to come. We already know that. The church's job is to be priests that pray out to God and cry out to God for their nation, for their state, for their city, for their neighbor, and ask God to spare them, for your family. Say, God, I'm willing to stand in the gap. In fact, I think it was the book of Isaiah, God was saying, I was looking for an intercessor. God's not looking for judges. He's the judge, and he's going to judge everybody. He's going to judge you, and he's going to judge me. And there is a day of wrath and judgment of God. But he's not looking for judges. He's looking for intercessors. He's looking for people that'll cry out to him and pray. Like Stephen, even when Stephen was being martyred and killed by wicked people, he was crying out, asking God to forgive them, even in the midst of his persecution. Stephen wasn't saying, God, they're persecuting me. You know, get those wicked sinners. He was saying, God, be merciful to them. The same thing Jesus did on the cross. When he was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness, Jace. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the purpose of the church. The church is not the agent of judgment in the world. God reserves that right alone. The church is the agent of grace and mercy, and we're priests of God. We're the ones that hold forth the word of life. And this is what Jesus was telling his early disciples. He said, you go and preach, and I will be with you. You know, and the thing I wrote down, I wish I could go just into all the different thoughts that God gave me as I was reading through chapters 1 through 14 of the book of Acts. But it's not like God doesn't do things in the world. God does do things in the world. You know, when the guy that King Herod killed James, and then King Herod got up, and he was making a boast, saying that he was somebody great, and he was taking all the glory. Do you know, right then and there, God stepped in, and he judged King Herod. Do you know that? God smote King Herod right there. It's not like God doesn't judge. In the book of Isaiah, I wrote it down, all the different nations, Gentile nations, that said that God was judging these nations. He was judging Samaria and Assyria and Babylon and Philistia and Moab and Syria and Ethiopia. He was judging Egypt and Edom, Arabia, Sheba, and Tyre. God does judge the nations. God does step in and get involved in the affairs of men. We know that the children of Israel cried out in Egypt, and God judged Egypt and brought great deliverance to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. God does hear us when we pray. God does hear us when we cry out, but it's not always in the time and the fashion that we think. The Bible also talks about enduring, standing fast, standing firm, not giving up. Men and women ought always to pray and not give up. Amen? Amen. Folks, I want to encourage us to do two things. And you need to vote. If there's things you're doing in government that can help, do it as a Christian. God uses people in many different ways. That's good. Be involved. If you can be involved at the polls, be involved. If you can be involved in any positive way in government to bring change, if you can write your congressman, write your senator, you know. But as a church, we need to preach the gospel and continue to preach the good news. And even if we are renounced and even if we are hated, and sometimes Christians are hated because of the stand we take, we will continue to offer the gospel, mercy, grace, and life to people. But church, we need to continue to pray. Amen. Pray for our neighbors. Pray for our family. Pray for this nation. I have not given up on this nation yet. Have you?
No.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now that's crazy. I can't even watch all the stuff that's going on. If I sit there and I focus on all the things that are going on in the news, I'd just be a mess. It just depressed me. You have to turn it off. Get what you need to know to pray. Get a little bit of information. But don't feed on it. It'll drive you nuts. Get enough information to pray. Turn it off and start praying. God has the final voice in what happens in this country. But folks, I think we're in times that we have to be strong and courageous. We have to be bold. We have to be confident in what we believe. You cannot let ABC and NBC and CBS set the narrative for your life. You can't let them tell you who you are. Only the Word of God defines who you are. You can't let them tell you because you think this way. You can't let the culture tell you who you are. You know who you are. We are sons and daughters of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. So I say it again. I think a couple weeks ago I had this, in the end, the same message. We need to be praying right now for our country. I think we had five or six or seven in here last night. We're going to continue on Saturdays, 5 o'clock every Saturday, praying for our nation and praying for our church and praying for our world. But right where you're at, is all your family saved? Are all your neighbors saved? Are your congressmen saved? Are any of them? Amen. Are any of them saved? That's our mission as a church. That's what the Bible lays down as our mission. And I just want to encourage you to it. I want every eye closed and every head bowed. Maybe you're here today and you came in. You said, well, Brother Brad, that's good, but I don't have a praying relationship with the Lord. And I don't know if I'm saved. I've never given my life to the Lord that I know of. I don't know if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven. I want to tell you something. Jesus is your best friend. Jesus died for you. The Bible says that every person, every man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person in this church building has sinned, most of us very significantly, and fallen short of the glory of God. And what makes us Christians is the fact that Jesus died for us on a cross And he was buried, and he took our guilt and our shame on that cross. And when Jesus died for us, he made a way for us to have a new life, a way for us to be forgiven, a way for us to have a new life, a way that we could be with God forever. If you're afraid to die, that's a sign. That's a sign to you. The fact that you're afraid to die is a sign that you're not ready to die. I know if I died right now, I'd be with the Lord forever. I have an eternity guaranteed for me in heaven. And if you don't know if you died tonight that you'd be with Jesus, you'd be with God, you need to give your life to God, just like most of us here have done. If you've never given your life to God, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to today. And if that's you, I want to pray with you today. And I'm offering you the gospel that God has already forgiven your sins. Already, they're forgiven. He only waits for you to accept his gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You have to receive it. When you receive the gift of eternal life, your sins are washed away and you're guaranteed for heaven. God will fill you with his Spirit. He'll teach you how to live. He'll teach you how to walk. He'll protect you and he'll guide you all the way until the time you go and you be with him. If that's you and you've never given your life to the Lord and you want to today, can I see your hand? You need to give your life to the Lord. Don't be ashamed. I just want to pray with you. Don't be afraid. I just want to pray with you. Is that you? Lord, you know who's here. I'm going to ask another time. If you've never given your life to the Lord and you want to today, you want to be saved, would you raise your hand? I want to see your hand. Did I miss you? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your reset in 2021, Lord. Father, our responsibility as a church is to preach the gospel. And Lord, it's our responsibility to share the good news with everyone we meet. Anybody that we have a voice with, Father. Any opportunity that you give us. God, give us courage and boldness, Lord, to be gracious to people, to share our hope that we have with you, Lord, and to announce the good news, Father, that Jesus loves sinners, because he does. He's the friend of sinners. And Father, I also pray as a body of believers that we will be a praying church. Lord, we haven't given up on our country. I don't have all the answers to what's going on in our nation, but I know you do. And Lord, I pray that we're courageous in these days, that we're not ashamed of the gospel, we're not ashamed of truth, and we pray for our nation. We pray as a body of believers. And Lord, bless Grace Point. God, help us to be a light, a city on a hill, a light in this neighborhood, in this community, and in this region, Lord. Father, I thank you for each one that walked in the door. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, just pray that you continue to work on their heart. Just show them their need of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, y'all have a great week. I'll see you. If I don't see you here Wednesday, I'll be on YouTube at 7 o'clock.